the Paris climate deal, who's meeting and missing their targets. In New York, I'm Tracy Samuelson in for David Brancaccio. Days before the start of a major UN climate conference in Poland, the agencies released a new report assessing the progress countries have made towards curbing climate change. A goal of the 2015 Paris Agreement was to keep global temperatures from increasing more than 1.5 degrees Celsius. But countries' progress towards the individual goals set in the accord are mixed at best. BBC environment correspondent Matt McGraw is here to discuss. Hey, Matt.
Hey, Tracy.
So a couple of years after the Paris Agreement went into effect, we now know which countries are and aren't meeting their goals. Give us the report card.
So you've got a lot of countries not doing so well, and they would be countries like Australia, the United States, the European Union. You've got a handful of countries meeting their targets, and that would be China, Japan, and Brazil. And you've got a couple of countries exceeding their targets, Russia, India, and Turkey. But people are a little bit worried about that because they think they put in very soft targets in the first place, and it was very easy to exceed them.
Yeah, so some of those misses surprising, some of the countries that are hitting surprising. Like, is it just a matter of what kind of goals these countries have set?
The difficulty is that the easier bits to do are the bits that they've done first. So a lot of countries are on target for 2020 with their plans. But when they go into the next 10 years, when it gets really tough, that's when things become very sticky and a little bit unclear that they will make it.
And if we kind of zoom out and look at the broader goal of curbing climate change, how are we doing?
Yeah, that's the bad news in this scenario, that while the countries are struggling, the planet is continuing to warm. And the UN report highlighted the fact that, look, all the scientists say the world's emissions should peak ideally by 2020. And they say at the moment, well, look, we're not even on target to peak by 2030. And so the chances of keeping to the Paris goals slip further away.
Okay, Matt McGraw, BBC environment correspondent. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Fed Chair Jerome Powell is scheduled to speak about financial stability later today, a day after President Trump told The Washington Post he's, quote, not even a little bit happy with Powell. The president disapproves of the Fed's gradual interest rate hikes. But investors always listen closely to the Fed chair when he speaks. Susan Schmidt, head of U.S. equities at Aviva Investors, is here to discuss market expectations. Hey, Susan.
Good morning.
So, Susan, as Fed Chair Jerome Powell speaks later today, how are markets feeling? What are they expecting from this talk?
The markets will be looking for how accommodating he will be. I think everyone largely accepts that there will probably be a rate hike in December. However, the outlook for what happens in 2019 is becoming more murky.
So President Trump will meet with Chinese President Xi Jinping in Argentina this weekend at the meeting of the G20. Lots of questions about how much progress those leaders might be able to make in resolving trade tensions.
The comments from the Fed chairman and the issues with trade are really all intertwined because in some ways the market is looking at it. They both raise anxiety and they're related. If trade comes out and is aggressive and difficult, that's going to be tough for businesses. Those lower interest rates from the Fed would really help. If President Trump is able to reach an agreement of some sort along trade this weekend, I think the market fears would really be calmed and they would feel much more confident in case Chairman Powell comes out and says, no, the Fed really wants to take a hard line with regards to interest rates going forward.
Susan Schmidt with Aviva Investors. Thanks, Susan.
Thank you.
As a nonprofit news organization, Marketplace is on a mission that drives what we do every day to increase the economic intelligence of all of us. But we can't do it alone. Become a Marketplace investor today in whatever amount you choose, and your donation will go twice as far, thanks to a dollar-for-dollar match from the Candida Fund. Donate today at marketplace.org.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.
Post-traumatic stress disorder, or PTSD, affects 3.5% of U.S. adults. Combat veterans, yes, but also survivors of other forms of trauma, assault, natural disasters, serious accidents. For civilians living with PTSD, finding treatment outside the Veterans Administration isn't always easy. But more mental health providers are starting to treat PTSD using some lessons they learned from treating veterans. In Austin, Caroline Covington reports.
It took years for Christina Pullen to realize she was using heroin to cope with something else, PTSD from childhood trauma.
When you have overwhelming symptoms, you become willing to kind of do whatever to help.
Pullen is now 11 years sober, but she says finding effective treatment was a challenge.
A lot of it has been geared towards veterans.
Pullen, now a social worker, lives with so-called complex PTSD that can stem from chronic childhood abuse or neglect, as opposed to a single incident or cause. But it's not a diagnosis recognized by the American Psychiatric Association. Harvard psychiatrist Judith Herman is among those who say it should be formally recognized. She says survivors are often misunderstood.
They get misdiagnosed as just having depression or bipolar disorder.
Today, most treatment for complex PTSD is done in private practice, so it's hard to quantify how many therapists provide therapy. But a few academic institutions are taking on this work, including Penn Medicine and Duke University. And in Austin, Texas, Dell Medical School psychiatrist Valerie Rosen started the RESTORE program at Seton Shoal Creek Hospital.
I thought that it was probably a lifelong disorder.
Rosen did her residency at the VA, and now she's using techniques she learned there to treat civilians. But RESTORE's intensive outpatient program is expensive. Rosen says her organization takes insurance, but it can cost up to $7,500. She says the program targets issues like safety, trust, power, and intimacy.
Components affected no matter what your traumatic event is.
Recovery matters emotionally, but also economically. According to the National Child Traumatic Stress Network, complex trauma costs the U.S. economy nearly $104 billion a year in healthcare costs and lost productivity, among other areas. In Austin, I'm Caroline Covington for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm Tracy Samuelson with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.